Blog Talk Radio.
From the world we see to the unseen world we sometimes see that makes us stand in awe of God's universe, this is Betsy Belega welcoming you from Cape Washington in the south to Nunavut and the Northern Lights in the Arctic Circle, from the White House gates to Lion's Gate, from Casablanca to everyone listening around God's globe. Hi, Gigi. This is Tuning in with Betsy from Marvelous Manhattan and Terrific Toronto. Now, today I want to share some interesting things I read this morning in our lovely Toronto Star newspaper. I saw this on television the other day, and it's not a hotel where I would stay. I don't know if I'll pronounce the name right, but in Sasebo, Japan, there's a hotel run by robots. So, listeners, welcome to the brave new world. Scary stuff, but I prefer human beings as my concierge, as my room service person, as my clerk booking me in and signing me in. I prefer a human being, not a metallic robot. But that's just my preference. Then I read today how palm oil, the rise in the use of palm oil, and it's everywhere because when I read the labels, yes, I'm one of those crazy ladies that reads the labels on everything, the palm oil use is killing the rainforests of Indonesia. And if you read such as potato chip labels, and it's everywhere, that's why I don't eat regular peanut butter, because it has palm oil in it. And the USA has decided that in 2018, they're not going to use palm oil anymore, or trans fats. And Canada is considering it, so Canada will think about it. So then the next thing I saw in the paper, so sad, human trafficking. Shahpur, Dwip, Bangladesh, and Agadez in Niger, Africa, really, my mother used to say, I thought Lincoln freed the slaves. Well, Mom, I'm right there with you, but apparently not, because there's, so much of it going around the world. Totally, totally disgusting. And then, another thing that I know, besides using palm oil products, I know that Betsy has used this. In Canada, microbeads are to be banned in Canada. So microbeads, and the ladies listening may know, or some guys may know, little plastic particles, which are toxic. They are found in makeup, they're found in lotions, and they're found in soaps. So the reason that Canada is banning them is because once they're flushed down the drain or washed down the drain, they're polluting the water and lakes in Canada. What's even scarier is that they're found in toothpaste. And in soaps, they're used, and I know that you know this, they're used as exfoliants. So many times you can get shower gel, different brands, and it'll say exfoliate your skin. Dear God, I think I'm going to hang on to my skin and let go of the microbeads. And then, a financial note for anybody interested, how did businesses in Toronto do during the Pan Am Games? So you would assume, but never assume anything, you know that we didn't really make a whole lot of money. It was perhaps a few hotels downtown that their rooms went up in sales and bookings. And no, we don't have robots down there downtown. And what happened was the restaurants and the businesses downtown, really their sales were just maybe even a little bit lower than this time last year. So everybody knows that Beijing has been awarded the next Olympics, and there's no surprise there. And I'll just say let Beijing pay the price, because they did again in the Toronto Star. How many billions, dear Toronto, my city that I love, would be putting billions of dollars to get ready for the Olympics. So I just think I'll say, no thanks, no thanks. Just as I do with palm oil and trans fat and saturated fats, no thanks, I'm going to pass. Now, yesterday I was talking to you about the book of Daniel, and I said that today we would be talking about the beast of Daniel 7. So here we go. In Daniel chapter 7, verse 1 to 3, you find that decades after his interpretation of King Nebuchadnezzar's dream, Daniel himself had an unusual dream in which he stood staring transfixed at dark swirling clouds and a raging sea. From this stormy sea, he saw four great beasts arise and proceed one by one to the shore. The first beast was like a lion. The second beast was like a bear. And the third, like a four-headed leopard. The fourth beast was described as a terrible creature with huge iron teeth. Out of the head of this fourth beast arose 10 horns. The end of Daniel's vision revealed a time when, and I quote, the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever, unquote. Remember, the vision in Daniel 2 also ended at the establishment of the kingdom of heaven. Should we let our imagination soar in trying to discern the identity of these creatures? Or should we let the Bible interpret itself? According to verse 17, these four creatures which arose successively symbolize four kings or kingdoms. According to verse 23, the fourth beast represents the fourth kingdom upon the earth. We've already seen from Daniel 2 a succession of four kingdoms. The scenarios recorded in both Daniel 2 and Daniel 7 recount four great world-ruling empires which were to arise successively. Each scenario ends with the establishment of the kingdom of God to rule the earth. Clearly, these two visions are recording different details of the same set of events. When we compare the visions of Daniel 2 and Daniel 7, we find that the first kingdom of Daniel 2, the head of gold, is equated with the lion, the king of beasts, in Daniel 7. The second kingdom, the silver of Daniel 2, is compared to a bear in Daniel 7. Kingdom, the brass of Daniel 2, parallels the four-headed leopard in Daniel 7. Why four heads? I've often wondered that myself. History records that after Alexander's death, his empire was divided among four of his generals. This fourfold division was prophesied in Daniel chapter 8, verse 8. All four kingdoms were Greek in culture and language. They were a divided continuation of the empire that had been unified under Alexander for less than a decade. Just as Persia's ponderous size and might was symbolized by a bear, the lightning-like quickness of Alexander's Greek armies was well described by the leopard metaphor. Daniel 8 records more details of the interaction of the second and third kingdoms, Persia and Greece. Daniel chapter 8, verse 3 to 4, describes a two-horned ram going out to subdue everything in all directions. According to Daniel chapter 8, verse 20, this ram represented the kings of Media and Persia, or Media and Persia. A powerful he-goat with one great horn coming up from between his eyes then defeated the ram completely. According to verse 21, I quote, "The rough goat is the king of Greece, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king," unquote. After Alexander's death, the great horn was broken. "Four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power." This is why in Daniel 7 we see the third kingdom described as a four-headed creature. These events set the stage for the fourth kingdom described in Daniel 7, too terrible to be characterized by one of the above animals. Daniel 2 characterizes the kingdoms with two legs of iron, and Daniel 7 portrays it as a creature with huge iron teeth. Daniel chapter 2 verse 40 explains, "And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything. And like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all the others." Notice what Daniel chapter 7 verses 19 to 23 reveals about this fourth kingdom. "Then I wished to know the truth about the fourth beast, which was different from all the other beasts, exceedingly dreadful, with its teeth of iron and its nails of bronze, which devoured broken pieces and trampled the residue with its feet. The fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, trample it, and break it in pieces. It is this fourth kingdom, the Roman Empire, that is pictured as continuing in one form or another until the time of Christ's return." Does history confirm this? Absolutely it does. Just as Medo-Persia had absorbed Babylon, and Alexander the Great had absorbed the empire of the Medes and the Persians, so the Romans absorbed all four of the heads that had sprung from Alexander's empire. When Alexander died at Babylon in 323 BC, an attempt was made to hold his empire together. A regency was proclaimed to govern in the joint names of his nephew and his unborn son. But this attempt failed. Within a few years, his empire was divided among four Greek generals who proclaimed themselves kings, just as Daniel had foreseen. In 307 BC, Antigonus and his son Demetrius took the title king, whereupon Ptolemy and Seleucus, Cassander, and Lysimachus did the same. The unity of Alexander's empire was thus openly ended. Cassander seized Greece and Macedonia, and with the aid of Lysimachus and Seleucus, he triumphed over Antigonus, who was slain at the Battle of Ipsus in 301 BC. In turn, however, Cassander's dynasty was overthrown in 276 BC by Antigonus' grandson, Antigonus II, who established a dynasty that held Greece and Macedon until the Roman conquest in 168 BC. When this area became absorbed into the Roman Empire. Lysimachus, who seized Asia Minor and proclaimed himself king in 305 BC, was eventually defeated and slain at the Battle of Corpadium in 281 BC by his erstwhile ally, Seleucus Eumenes I, the Seleucid governor of Pergamum, which was Asia Minor. He succeeded in becoming virtually independent of the Seleucids by about 260 BC. By 230 BC, his successor had taken the title king when Attalus III died in 133 BC. His will left his kingdom of Pergamum and Asia Minor to the Romans. Rome had thus absorbed the second head of Daniel's leopard. Well, it amazes me that you could leave a whole country or a whole area to Rome. But we continue. Seleucus established a kingdom which stretched eastward to Babylon and westward to Syria. The Seleucid dynasty, which sprang from him, continued until 64 BC, when the Roman general Pompey made Syria a province in the expanding Roman Empire. The Macedonian general Ptolemy took the title king at the same time as his three contemporaries, Cassander, Lysimachus, and Seleucus. His kingdom was centered in Egypt and continued under his descendants down to Cleopatra's death in 30 BC, following her defeat by the Romans. Julius Caesar's nephew, Octavian, later known as Augustus Caesar, defeated the forces of Cleopatra and Mark Antony at the Battle of Actium and absorbed Egypt into the Roman Empire. This brought to an end the last of the Hellenistic monarchies. With this conquest, all four heads of the Greco-Macedonian leopard were an integral part of the Roman Empire, the fourth beast of Daniel 7. So, now we'll talk about the beast of Revelation being revealed. Here we go. And I'm sure, and I know you may not know, and I'm sorry for slaughtering the names of these ancient people, but I know that you've heard of the following few people we're going to talk about now. Napoleon, Hitler, and Saddam Hussein have something in common. So also to Mikhail Gorbachev, Benito Mussolini, Franklin Roosevelt, and various and sundry popes. Some have labeled them and countless other figures, well known and obscure, as the mysterious beast described in the Book of Revelation. Institutions such as the League of Nations, the United Nations, international communism, and even the United States government have in the last century also been called the beast. Yes, because when I was a kid, we all loved the government. Now, not so much. A lot of skeptics, a lot of conspiracy people out there. Other commentators have argued that the Book of Revelation is only to be understood as a metaphor for the battle between good and evil. To these commentators, the beast is the personification of evil, not an historical figure or an institution. But, some might ask, aren't there all sorts of views and interpretations of Bible prophecy? There certainly are. It seems that most would-be interpreters start with what they see on the world scene, and then they attempt to read it back into the Bible. This is why nearly all who commented on Bible prophecy back in the 1950s and the 1960s identified the Soviet Union communist empire as a scarlet-colored beast of Revelation. A few years ago, it was Saddam Hussein. Keeps changing, doesn't it? Today, many commentators identified the New World Order or the United Nations as the beast. There seem to be just about as many interpretations as there are interpreters. The Creator God does not intend Bible prophecy to be understood by an exercise in creative imagination. And we all have creative imaginations, or I should say most of us do. Neither is prophecy to be understood by looking at contemporary events and attempting to read them back into the Bible's account. Rather, no prophecy of the scriptures is to be of any private interpretation. And being raised Catholic, there was a lot of, you can say that God spoke to you, but be careful how you interpret things. And if the Bible uses symbolic language, it contains in its text the keys to understanding what the symbols mean. So remember that God did not leave you high and dry. He gave a key. Revelation 13, let's examine that, chapter 13. The elderly apostle John stood upon the sandy shores of the Isle of Patmos, where he was exiled in the Mediterranean Sea. As he gazed out to sea, the scene before him seemed to change. Dark clouds lowered, and the sea appeared to churn. As he stared transfixed, a strange creature rose up out of the water. This creature had the body of a leopard, the mouth of a lion, and the feet of a bear. It thus embodied the main characteristics of the first three creatures Daniel had seen in his vision, recorded in Daniel 7. The beast that John saw also had seven heads and ten horns. We are told that the dragon gave this creature its power and authority. Very funny, but no coincidence. I'm reading a book on healing, and it talks about Jesus Christ giving all of his believers, that means me and you, power and to heal. But we'll talk about that in a bit, or maybe on another show. But you do have power and authority over a lot of evil, unseen entities around you. Always call in the name of Jesus for protection. So here we go. The dragon gave this creature its power and authority. I prefer my power from Jesus. Finally, we are told that one of this creature's heads was wounded to death and was then healed. After the healing, the creature continued for 42 months. An almost identical scene is described in Daniel 7. In his vision, Daniel had seen four creatures, a lion, a bear, a four-headed leopard, and a fourth terrible creature with ten horns, arise up out of a dark and stormy sea. The creatures that Daniel saw are clearly identified as a succession of empires, from Nebuchadnezzar's Babylon to Medo-Persia to Alexander's Greek Empire, which split four ways after his death, which we just talked about, and finally to the Roman Empire. It's out of the fourth creature symbolizing the Roman Empire that the ten horns arose. Notice the similarity of the two accounts. In each case, there are seven heads. In Revelation chapter 13, John saw one creature, not four distinct ones, but the characteristics were the same. Seven heads, ten horns were described. In each account, the prophets used the symbolism of a lion, a bear, and a leopard. Why were there differences in the visions? When Daniel saw his vision, it was virtually all in the future Babylon. Babylon, symbolized by a lion, was on the scene, and the others were yet to come. When John wrote, more than 600 years later, Babylon, Persia, and Greece had all passed into history. John focused not on the different heads to arise, but upon the details concerning the seventh head, the one that was extant in his day, and whose history he recorded in advance. Where Daniel focused on four empires, John focused on one system derived from Babylon. He saw the various empires as merely different heads of the same creature. Daniel identified what he saw as beginning in his days and continuing on until the return of Christ, when the saints would possess the kingdom, which in my humble opinion, here I go again with my humble opinion, is going to happen in our lifetime. The Roman Empire of John's day was simply a continuation of what had begun in Babylon. Remember that the Bible interprets its own symbols. Daniel chapter 7, verse 23 makes plain that the four creatures embodying seven heads represent kingdoms. In Revelation chapter 17, verses 9 to 10, the seven heads of the beast are identified as seven mountains or seven kings. According to Daniel chapter 7, verse 24, and Revelation chapter 17, verse 12, horns symbolize kings or kingdoms. As for the dragon, which is the source of power for this system, Revelation chapter 12, verse 9 tells us, the great dragon, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan. What of the head wounded to death? Remember of the seven-headed beast described in Revelation 13? Only the final seventh head, the Roman Empire, was extant in John's day. The fulfillment of the previous six heads had already passed into history by the time of John's writing. Did the Roman Empire receive a deadly wound, then later come back to life and continue 42 months? The date that has, for centuries, been taken as the line of demarcation between ancient and medieval history is 476 AD. This date, the traditional fall of the Roman Empire, marks the murder of the last Roman emperor of the West, Romulus Augustulus, by the barbarians. In the next chapter, which we'll get to tomorrow, we'll examine this empire's subsequent revival. But first notice another detail described in both Daniel 7 and in Revelation 13. In each account we read of 10 horns coming up out of the beast's seventh head, the Roman Empire. John saw each of these horns as having a crown upon it. And Daniel explained that they represented kings or kingdoms. Daniel also tells us that from among these 10 horns came up a little horn, which caused the first three to be plucked out. To see what that means, we must look further at the history of the old Roman Empire. But today we have run out of time. So what I'm going to do today, anybody listening that needs healing, whether it's financial, spiritual, emotional, physical, I want to say to you, be healed now in the name of Jesus. Put your hand where you want God to touch you and just say, thank you, Jesus. I accept my healing. So I want to say to everyone listening, thank you for tuning in with Betsy. We're back tomorrow, Sunday, August the 2nd, back to 5 o'clock, Something altered my schedule today, but we'll be back here tomorrow at 5 o'clock. So until then, I want to thank everybody. And don't be afraid when you read the newspaper. Don't be frightened when you hear the news. Yes, it's a crazy world we live in, but God is in control. So thank you so much. God bless you. And as I always say, don't forget to talk to your angels. They're waiting to hear from you. But also I'd like to say, don't forget to talk to God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. You are loved, and just embrace that love from up above. And then what you're to do is spread that love around the world. Thank you for listening to Tuning In with Betsy.